You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, because they matter to us, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Happy Content Co.
Welcome to episode 45 of Brumpod. I'm Richard Heathcote, and I am joined by Jason and Ewan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, gents. So today we're going to be talking about life returning to normal and hopes for the future. So first of all, how have we all been?
You know what? It's been really good. I got to go out and see people again, and it's slowly getting back to normal. We're not there yet, you know, don't all rush ahead and make things worse again. But little things like going out for a meal, seeing friends, going back inside people's houses, and, you know, this time them not screaming, "Who are you and how did you get in here?" You know, all these things just that we took for granted, and now suddenly they're joyous again.
Yes, I went for a meal out last week, and it was quite weird being indoors again.
Yeah.
And after something that's only been affecting our lives for just over a year, it's odd how quickly we've become conditioned to, meals. Oh, they happen outside. So it was very odd, but very nice being back inside. And yes, I welcome many more of those to come.
Well, I haven't done anything wildly exciting, but then that's just a return to normal in my case. But there you are. but I think it's interesting that, you know, you're both saying, "Oh, actually managed to go out, actually managed to see people and interact and do normal things." And you know, I'm intrigued at how that's affecting the world of work.
Yeah. Well, the current guidance is still, if you can work from home, you should. So I'm still working from home, but you're getting to go out on appointments more. And because venues are open, rather than try and do something remotely over Zoom, which was, you know, nice, convenient, no commute, the idea you could just meet someone and have a conversation over a cup of coffee again. And they're so different, those conversations. There's none of that kind of stilted, "Is it your turn? Is it my turn? You're on mute." You don't hear that yelled across a coffee shop.
Definitely like Brumpod then, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Very much so, yes.
Oh, Richard edits out all of the, kind of pauses and jerky bits of the conversation, but it doesn't happen in real life.
just for the laughs. Yeah, the world of business does seem to be gradually getting back to normal, or some semblance of normal. There's been a few things in the news that we found, you know, the good and bad. You know, UK tourism experiencing slow recovery. Holidaymaker spending is half of that of 2019 figures, which isn't surprising, really, with not many people coming into the country. But then it's a good opportunity for UK folk to holiday in the UK. Why not?
Particularly good time to visit all those hotspots like York and London and Oxford and Cambridge.
So you're being kind. I was about to say yes because of the food and the weather.
Oh, don't forget the food has improved immeasurably.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same about the weather.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It has been the wettest May on record. So hopefully we're going to have a cracking June, July, August and September.
Well, forecast for the next week looks good. Yeah, that'll age well.
I mean, we had times in May where you had bright sunshine in the morning, birdsong, then a snow shower, then hailstones, and then sunshine again, and then rain in the evening.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like the weather, just give it a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the world of work that Ewan was saying, that's going to be where we'll see the real changes. People are going to start coming back into the city, and particularly with the impact of the Clean Air Zone, the commute will change. Some people won't want the commute anymore.
Yep.
Some people can't wait to get back in. Some businesses will be happy doing what they call hybrid, where come into the office if you need to be in, or you do a couple of days a week, but you don't have a full-time desk anymore. You'll share, or you'll either be hot desking or you'll have a shared desk. So when you're in, you use that desk. When you're not, somebody else will use it. And they'll sort of reduce the size of the office they need. Although I'm wondering how long that will hold before you get that mission creep where they're starting to want to get everyone together all the time, because they're annoyed not being able to make decisions until, you know, Steve is back in on Thursday.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that I'm going to push a prediction out there and say that I think more and more businesses will end up being subtly forced to offer hybrid working and hot desking and scaling down their main premises possibly in the future, because I think the vast majority will demand it, and they'll have to follow suit because of all the other progressive businesses that are doing the same.
Yeah,
so it's likely that I think personally that is pretty much inevitable. A lot of businesses say we're going to have to offer some form of flexible working or hybrid working, because everybody else most likely will be as well. So they're going to look like dinosaurs if they don't offer something in the way.
Yeah, they'll start paying lip service to it, but they'll be dragged into the 21st century.
Well, just like we've said on other episodes, you know, the world of technology has been pushed forward by a number of years because of the pandemic. It's proved that a lot of stuff can be done remotely. As we've said before, not everything. There are many industries where it just wouldn't be possible. Yeah. But there's a lot of businesses where it would be completely possible and appropriate.
Yeah. Well, I don't make predictions, and I never will. It's a Paul Gascoigne line. I love that. But I do think that you're right. I think the traditional office will start to... the workforce will shrink. There'll be more of a focus on shared space. And I do see a growth sector in particular being ad hoc venues, whether that's pubs, clubs, where when you need to get everyone together at the same time, you'll, you know, book a function room somewhere so everyone can be around. Or you'll see a growth in, particularly from serviced offices, and where you'll have overflow ad hoc desking. So if the office is full, they'll have an arrangement with a serviced office company that you can actually just go there.
Yep. And banking giants, HSBC, Lloyds and Standard Chartered are ditching their posh HQs and or leaving when leases expire. And a lot of them are reconfiguring their office space to accommodate work-life balance and hybrid arrangements. Tech companies, Twitter, Square and Spotify have told their staff they can work remotely forever. Yeah. So I think there is a distinct shift in attitudes that looks like it will be here to stay for the most part.
Well, yeah, you pull in more. Go ahead.
You think you lose quite a bit by having everybody remote. You lose all that informal communication of, you know, when you pass into somebody in the corridor and you say, well, I know what I was going to say to you. You lose all that informal monitoring of people.
Yep.
You know, if you're at the end of a broadband, then how do you monitor whether somebody's feeling a bit low or has a bad back or whatever?
It might work in the sense that people can be in the office for a week and then the following week they're at home and everyone sort of cycles round, and so that you don't have to have everybody in the same place at the same time. You can just circulate. You know, there's I suppose there's many ways something like this could be done.
I think that's one of the main plans for this hybrid working, as they call it, is you don't have some people permanently at home and you don't have some people permanently in the office. The idea is you can cycle, you can rotate. If you want to spend a couple of days working from home, a few days in the office, that's fine. And it will be how people schedule it. I said the biggest downsides to that is, as Ewan pointed out, if people are at home and they're feeling a bit low, they're very isolated and they're not likely to reach out to a colleague and say, you know, I'm a little bit unhappy about that memo we just had. Whereas in the office, you can pick up the nonverbal cues. You can see somebody is a little bit sort of anxious about some new information or some other stuff. It will be a case of managing, you know, particularly from an HR point of view, the idea that you don't put out highly disruptive statements to your home workers without having some sort of support system in. It may be that for big announcements, you do call everyone into the office or the venue that you've booked and make those kind of things. A lot of companies will probably learn, you know, trial by fire, how to do it properly and how not to. But there's advantages and disadvantages. You'll get a wider range of talent if they can work from home. You may also get less employer retention, because if somebody can work from home and then if they don't like you, they can work from home for somebody else, you still, you know, you have another problem. So there's going to be new challenges and probably stuff people haven't even anticipated yet.
And of course, people can work from home in Mumbai or wherever instead of in sunny Birmingham.
Exactly. Well, so long as the broadband holds, the problem is that technology is brilliant and allows you to do loads of really, really cool stuff until it stops working and then you can do nothing. Whereas at least if you're in the office, you know, you can look at alternatives. If your phone lines are down, you can pick up your mobile. You know, if there's a power cut, you could still just get all the staff together for a, you know, sit in a boardroom and just have a general sort of debrief and catch up with everyone. There's loads of alternatives where you're not isolated once that digital connection has been cut, and that's a huge bonus for the office environment.
Mind you, when I managed an office and we had a power cut, we had to send everybody home for the morning.
Me, I think when we had that situation, I decided to do everyone's staff appraisal, you know, one-to-ones and development plans. So, but yeah, you can only, so long as you know these things are only going to be short term and the power will be up in a little while, then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But again, we've all had challenges where we've been stuck in the office and the systems have failed and you've just found other stuff to do to try and stay busy. And that's the important thing, is how do hybrid remote workers stay busy and stay productive?
Especially with all the distractions from home. Partly because we actually have, you know, our new builds are about the smallest houses in Europe.
Yeah.
Because we like having a garden. But the, you know, there's people mowing the lawn, there's kids running about, there's the ice cream van, there's the Amazon delivery for the people next door, you know.
You say that, I'm recording this podcast from home. My son is at school, finishes this week. My wife and daughter are out on some trip. My biggest distraction is two greyhounds fast asleep in the hallway. So, yeah, if it wasn't for this podcast, the silence would be overwhelming.
My biggest distraction currently is the squirrel outside that decides just to stare in at me for no apparent reason.
It's a government spy. We've told you about this. They're recording it. Then again, you're recording it too, recording, so, you know, you're well, even. So
if they're recording, it's just a handy backup. I think it's also shown that I think the UK also needs to massively expand its broadband capabilities to make everything a lot more, a lot quicker for a lot of people, and also a lot more stable.
Yeah.
There were so many outages that various companies have from time to time. It's, you know, this last 12 months has shown that we do deserve better broadband in this country, whether that's going to be in the form of fixed lines and fiber, or if everything's just going to start making the jump to the 5G technologies and so on, which we've discussed on previous episodes. I mean, who knows? But either way, something needs to make a massive leap there to bring us more into the 21st century, because some of the broadband providers, when they keep banging on about their super fast speeds and the maximum you get is about 15 meg, it's just pathetic.
I think one of the big changes, and think of it like your car insurance. When you drive, when you commute to work, you're covered under, you know, domestic But if you use your car to travel from site to site, you have to have business insurance. Otherwise, if you have a smash, you're not actually covered because you were on company time, you know, doing company business. You need to have your car insured correctly. Broadband. People working from home, I know broadband is broadband, but they've all got this domestic package. And the more you're using it for your job and the more you're using it for business, you will find that the, you know, the broadband companies will adapt. Your employer will be very interested to know that your broadband package is actually up to the task if you're working from home. You know, you can't keep cutting out on Zoom meetings because you bought the cheapest one possible. And you might even be told that if your internet connection isn't up to the job, then you can't remote work.
God, this just sounds something out of Black Mirror meets Very British Problems on Twitter.
Yeah, but these will be challenges that we've only just started anticipating. And it could be that you'll end up with broadband companies offering a home and business package. So if you are a, you know, remote worker, that there will be certain guarantees, or it could be that you have a certain type of bill where your employer will actually allow you to claim, you know, a percentage on expenses.
Yep.
I know that you just pay a package and you've got, you know, technically unlimited broadband, but you are using it. You are using your home facilities for business.
Yeah.
Oh, there's all kinds of knock-on effects. You know, even the company is saving on heating and utilities, but you're paying more.
Yeah. I have to admit my petrol costs went down tremendously while I was home working. Well, I am home working. And yet somehow my electricity bill went through the roof.
Yeah.
So, and suddenly all the coffee in the house is disappearing.
There's other things in the news as well, both good and bad. High street shopper numbers still almost 30% below pre-pandemic levels. Another reason, as we've discussed in previous episodes, probably more reason for shops to innovate more. So how can they make the in-person shopping experience better? What brings people to the shop rather than buying it online? Who knows? Cineworld have said they've had a good, strong reopening weekend as film fans rush back to cinemas more than they expected. Ofgem have approved plans for investing £300 million in low-carbon projects, which includes over 3,500 charging points for electric vehicles, generally improving the infrastructure. So hopefully that will encourage more people to look at the electric and plug-in hybrid type cars sooner. Exactly. And curbs range anxiety for a lot of people.
I mean, you're saying about the high street and, you know, shops and retail being down, it's the same challenge that the city centre faces. And we covered it before. I said it was the coffee shop analogy. You can drink coffee at home. You can have your own coffee machine and get really good coffee. So why do people still go out to coffee shops? It's because of the people there. It's the interactions. It's the opportunities. And that is where the city centres and the high street will regain. Yes, I know John Lewis is moved out. We've lost Debenhams and a couple of other high street names. So the retail experience will change. But it's also an opportunity for what it will change into. You know, shopping is very much a social enterprise. You can go online and you can pick out the stuff in isolation and order it. But you can go out with friends. You can try stuff on and get an opinion about whether it's the right purchase or not. You can actually go out and have fun. You can go and have a meal and a few drinks afterwards, and it becomes...
You can try stuff on in coffee shops. I mean, that's surely frowned upon.
Oh, that is why I'm banned from... Yeah, I see that now. But yeah, the idea that, you know, if you're just shopping for, you know, new coat, and yeah, you can look at one online and you can order it and you can try it on at home. You can even take a, you know, a photo and post it on social media and get people's opinions. And trust me, they'll give you their opinions. But, you know, there's nothing quite like just being out, like, go out to the family, try this on, what do you think? And they go, nah, or yeah. And that, you know, it's just fun. It's those little social interactions that everyone is missing. That is where.
As well, that, you know, I did an entire MBA project on how people's perceptions of service quality improved as the place got busier, Now, whether that's a visitor attraction or a cinema or a theatre, you get a much better experience if you're surrounded by other people.
Yeah. No one likes to eat in an empty restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, it's almost social proof for the shop that, you know, if you're surrounded by other people who are shopping there as well, then obviously you've made the right quality choice in choosing that shop.
Yeah. It comes down to experience. If it's a good experience, then it's worth coming in. And yeah, the experience online is very insular. It's very isolated. It's just you. Whereas in the city centre, it then becomes far more social, more interactive. Again, people will come back into the office, not necessarily because they need to be in the office that day. They just want to see people. And that
seeing
will be
people's overrated. I mean, who wants to do that?
Oh, Richard, you know that moment when you see someone that you look forward, your heart beats a little bit faster when they come in the room. I've told you about this before, but you always keep rejecting me.
We've had this conversation before. This is why we do the podcast remotely, because you're just not to be trusted.
Hey, that injunction runs out soon. It's not an auto-renewal. In fact, it will run out very soon, won't it? So
better ring my lawyer.
No, this is the point when you, point out that it might run out second Tuesday in July.
Oh, yes. I see what you're doing now.
Yeah. Yes. See what I did there?
That was a neat segue that almost worked.
Almost. So that clanging noise in the background was the hint being dropped.
Yes, we have some preliminary Brummies networking news, in the sense that we have obviously been behind the scenes planning on when and how we can relaunch. And you guys visited the casino last week, which was very good of you, whilst I was buried in a load of work. So yeah, we have some rough plans at the moment. Everything is subject to whatever happens in the UK and the Indian variants and any other variants that crop up. But yes, we do have rough plans now to hopefully relaunch our in-person events from July onwards. So everything will be confirmed nearer the time. But that is, so far, our hope and our dream that we can relaunch and now relaunch again for good. Yes. Without, hopefully, you know, without further interruptions and obstacles in our way. So that's our hope.
Hopefully without a Brummies variant suddenly appearing.
Oh, no, that sounds like something you want to get just to show solidarity.
It's a badge of honour.
Yes, it's like the St. Edmunds variant. It sounds almost, you know, like it come an M&S variant. You know, everyone will want it. So, but no, Ewan and I went out to the casino and went to see the guys there. They would love to have us back. We would love to be back. We had a look at all the safety measures they've put in, the changes to the rooms, the hand sanitizers everywhere. I mean, yeah, it looks like it will be. It looks like it will be a very safe, very well-managed environment for everyone to come back to. And by the time we're open, if the roadmap is where it should be, then people will feel a lot more comfortable about coming down as well. And it would just be really great to see everyone again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, by not having a meeting since last March, we are definitely keen to be back as soon as we feasibly can. Hopefully, yeah. As if things continue to improve the way they are, then July is hopefully looking good.
We will be training Richard, you know, some role plays, easing back into it. We're not just going to bring him there in July and then he'll see people scream and hide under a table.
Yeah, I mean, that's my default. But I'll have a bit of training just so I can, you know, be in the workplace and be amongst other humans.
We'll put some cardboard cutouts in a room and see if you can walk through them.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, baby steps. We've got to go carefully. So yes, we'll obviously have to have a few different procedures in place. We'll obviously publish all this well in advance so everyone knows exactly what to expect, just so everyone can be as safe and feel as safe as possible. and be as absolutely safe and secure as possible, whilst still enjoying the experience that they're all used to the best that we can.
And part of that experience as well is actually being relaxed.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. We don't want to be on eggshells all the time. We want to make sure everyone does feel like it's the good, same Brummies feeling and experience as ever. So we'll be publishing that, obviously, in due course, so everyone will be fully aware and briefed beforehand. But we're confident.
Yeah.
We're confident. So if you'd like to stay up to date with what we are going to be doing and all the information you'll need to know, do make sure you're subscribed to our mailing list on the website. Link will be in the episode notes. And also, obviously, follow our social channels, because everything will be published there, as well as the mail shot first, so you'll be up to the minute informed. So that pretty much wraps up episode 45. So thank you for listening and being with us, and we shall catch you in the next one.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Happy Content Co. Follow us on Twitter at Brumpod. You can subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.